We've made it through Christmas. And I am presuming correctly that you've already opened your Christmas gifts, right? Okay, anybody have any left unopened? Okay, good. Good. Wednesday night, New Year's Eve party here at the church. Eighth annual. And so, it's a wonderful time of fellowship. We're going to be looking at having more group games, getting everybody involved than before, but we still have the same wonderful prizes. And so hopefully you'll be making plans for that. Start time, 7 o'clock, end time, whenever you want. We certainly would invite you to come to that. Now, here's one that is unopened. It sure looks like a gift, but we don't really know that unless somebody would do what? Somebody would take it. Anybody willing to take this one? Okay, Diane, thank you for that hand. Okay, come on up here. You know, it takes a bold one, you know? Somebody's got to be bold. Do you want me to send you back to sit down?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay, so now, if this is a gift, and it's kind of in girly print, so guys, I'm sorry, you didn't really have a chance. So what does Diane have to do for the gift? Well, before she opens it, what's she got to do? She has to receive it. Without receiving the gift, there's no idea of knowing what in the world is in it. And now, just for the sake of not having everybody spending the whole time looking at what's in here, save it for later. Okay. Within this, and I know there's got to be at least two of you that are thinking, oh, Diane's the church treasurer. She writes the checks. That's why Pastor chose her. Well, draw your own conclusions. We have finished the bad news in Romans, and we are now ready to begin on the good news. Please join with me, if you would, please, in your Bibles in Romans chapter 3, in verses 21 through 24. If you don't have your Bible with you, there should be one in the pew rack in front of you, and you will find Romans 3, verse 21 on page 828. The first thing we will see there that is sourced in God. Paul has finished the bad news. He has let us know that we are all sinners, and we all stand under the condemnation of God, and there will be none declared righteous by the law. Now, it's within this, then, that Paul is finally getting to the good news here, verse 21. But now, a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. The first thing we see here is that this righteousness is sourced in God. It comes from Him. It comes from His essence. It comes from His creative power. And there's no other righteousness like it. Now, if we were to have a spelling test today, we would understand that the line would have to be fairly long to write out the word righteousness. So just to make sure everybody's understanding what is meant by righteousness. Righteousness, according to God, is right according to God. Therefore, righteousness according to God is always right because He's perfect. And so anything that would be less than perfect, would not be righteousness coming from him. The only way it could be coming from him is to be absolutely perfect. God's righteousness. Man's righteousness, on the other hand, can appear good, can appear right, but it's never absolute. It's never 100%. You know, and the fact that we're good 95% of the time, let me just illustrate it this way. Imagine a glass of water that's 95% water. And the other 5% has just got this crud swirling around in the midst of it. And on the bottom of the glass is some sludge that looks unspeakable. Anybody care to drink that 95% water? That's kind of how God is. Because of his character, because of his very nature of being perfect, he must be against anything that is evil. He must be against anything that is sin. It has to be perfect or it's not of him. God has created man in his image so that God may have fellowship with him. Guess what the requirement is for fellowship? Righteousness. Not man's righteousness that's got the sludge in the bottom of the glass, that's got the crud swirling around in it. No, it's his righteousness. 100%. That's what's required. And this that is required, we can see that Paul is telling us, is a righteousness sourced in God. It's not coming anywhere from man. So as we can see this, this was coming as somewhat of a shock to the Jews. Paul goes on and he says that it's not only sourced in God, but it's not new. Paul isn't saying, I'm coming here with this new idea about righteousness, and we're going to be talking about righteousness through Christ, and I know this is new to you Jews. You've never heard of this before. Paul is saying just the opposite. He's saying, you take a look at the Old Testament. You take a look at the law. You take a look at the prophets. Everything in there is talking about how that man cannot get to God. There is no amount of righteousness that man can do to put himself in God's favor. There is nothing man can do. Why? Because man can never get away from the stain. And we'll get back to the crud and the sludge later, but just know that this is sourced in God as it has to be. And this is not a different message that God is giving the Jews. You see, these Jews had spent a lot of time in the law. They owned it. They possessed it as a nation. They're the ones who kept copying it and making all the rules on how to do what it tells you to do. The problem quickly became that they were somewhat aware that this law was too hard for anyone to do. And because it was so hard for them to do, they kind of fudged a little bit. They kind of smudged the meaning of the words so that it was rewritten in a form in which man could do it. And so they had developed generations of people that were following traditions about what this book said and what it meant so that they could put themselves in the path of doing the law so that they would win God's favor. And it is here that Paul is saying that never has been God's way. It never will be God's way. God has got a different plan. He is talking about a righteousness that comes from Him. And it's always been that way, that He is the one that's going to make it available to man. Number two, we see equal opportunity in verses 22 and 23. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. If righteousness is unattainable, If righteousness is attainable by man, if by our diligence, if by our hard work, if by our blood, sweat, and tears, we were able to attain unto God's righteousness, that some way or another we get there, there would be those of us that have advantages over others. We just have a moral compass that's a little bit truer. We have an intellect that's a little bit brighter and easier to figure these things out. There's those of us who have the physical stamina to go the distance. And of course, you know, there's Scott and Naomi where they're running. But anyway, that's just an example. We get the idea that there's those that would have advantages. And so that this pursuit of righteousness is going to be us gearing up to get ourselves to God. And in some way or another, we're going to be wanting to hang out with those people who've got some advantages so that they can drag us along too. And there's going to be those who make it, and those who make it are those with the advantages. What a sick, competitive game righteousness would become if there was any way possible for man to be able to attain God's righteousness on his own. That just doesn't happen to be the case. That's why in verse 23 it says, for all have sinned, all fall short of the glory of God. And there's this idea here of this falling short. It's not like, you know, oh man, I just missed it. It's like, no. The idea is that all are way, way short. Not even close. So it has absolutely nothing to do with any physical, any intellectual, any emotional, any moral component that would put someone in an advantaged position of realizing God's grace. Christianity stands alone as an equal opportunity religion. All man-made religion, and even those that should be centered in God, can become a man-made religion. You see it in Christianity, you see it in Judaism, in which there will be those that are putting in man-made requirements of somehow getting the favor of God by doing things that we do. All man-made religion is designed that way. It is setting apart the righteousness of God and instead defining righteousness in our own terms and in our own way of getting there. And man is excited about that because we're a competitive beast. We want to get out there and show we can do it. You know, these other sinners may not want to get to God, but I do, so tell me, what have I got to do? And Paul is just squashing them. As he's saying, try as you may, you're falling way, way short. You're not even close. There's an equal opportunity here that all are only going to come through grace. God had to make a way because we couldn't. There was a righteousness from God that comes through faith in Jesus Christ unto all who believe. There are no advantages. There are no differences. This is an offer of righteousness. It is the righteousness that is required to have fellowship with God. It was how we were designed. It was how we were purposed. And we can never achieve that on our own. But it is available to all who believe. Now, number three, we see it's a gift. Verse 24. And are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Did anybody here, let's make this interactive, don't be afraid, put up your hand. Did anybody here go to any after Christmas sales? Okay, thank you. I don't know, too much sugar on the brain, I don't know, maybe. Regardless of how good of a sale it is, you did not go to the store and find anything for free. Certainly you saw buy one, get one free, which of course, you know, simple math is half price. But you still had to pay something. For those of us that are a little bit older, we remember the days of the Kmart Blue Light Special. If you were knowledgeable of those, would you just raise your hand? Okay, good, good. Okay, within this, Kmart had this deal here that they would surprise the shoppers with these incredible values from time to time. And they made a game out of it. You know, they try to disguise this little cart they're pushing through the store in which the blue light is covered. And they announce it over, there's a blue light special. And they'd announce the place in the store that it was. And they'd pull the thing off and the light's twirling around. And people would literally be in the middle of shopping for something, just grab their cart and take off running to go to this blue light special, which is probably something you don't need. But it's such a good deal, you're going to buy it anyway. And it was, you know, it's so funny that the reason Kmart stopped doing the blue light special was violence. It was like a daily occurrence, or weekly, maybe they did it, I don't know. They did it quite often. But it would be like a Black Friday sale every time the blue light went on. But regardless of what that deal was, you still had to go through the cash register. You still had to pay for that purchase. It wasn't free. We can get some really good deals, but it's really tough to find something that is truly free. Here we've spent a few moments talking about God's righteousness, that is this 100% pure standard. Nothing is going to be able to compare to it. And we can't attain it. And God's offering it for free. By his grace, through faith. What an incredible offer of a gift. That's why it is the good news. Now, next week, we're going to be looking at focusing on this free gift and some of the ramifications for God of trying to make this consideration. For today, I just want you to see that this justification, here's another one of those words. Let's stop for a moment. Justification is what is required to be in fellowship with God. Without justification, you're not in fellowship with God. Justification is being declared righteous, right according to God. And in so doing, it's a declaration of God. I don't have to convince any one of you that God has not made you, by belief in Him, 100% righteous. Amen? We get that. We have been declared righteous. That is to be justified. You have had this situation that to be in fellowship with God, you need to be 100% righteous. Well, impossible. Yes. And within that impossibility, God says, I've made a way, and I will declare you righteous, which means it's like a legal transaction. Check, righteous. What did we do? Receive the gift. That's it. That's the role of faith here in the gift. Much like we saw Diane reach out and physically take the gift to make it hers. I mean, it's still a mystery. It's still a surprise. But it's still a gift nonetheless, because it has been given and it has been received. God has given His righteousness, and it is up to us to receive it. Now, within this, then, the faith is operating much like the willingness to receive the gift. God's offer of His grace, of His righteousness, so that we may be acceptable to Him, does not obligate Him or us. Nor does His offer guarantee its reception. We must realize we have to receive to get the benefits of the gift. For any of you that are a student, and you think it would be absolutely wonderful to have a scholarship to help you with the expenses in college, and you learn that somebody said you want a scholarship, but you never step forward to claim it, you still got to pay your own school bills. God's offer has to be received. The reception of that offer of good news is by faith. Okay, so we can see here then that the receipt of the gift offered by God provides redemption. Anybody ever take cans or plastic bottles in and to redeem them? Okay. When we do that, you're redeeming the cans. You're giving the cans back to those that are eventually going to be the manufacturers of them, and in response, they pay you. Redemption always involves a price. Redemption for us to be given His righteousness, the price was Jesus Christ dying on the cross. That's what makes this all such a spectacular gift. We had no right to demand that gift. We had no way of coming up with a gift like that on our own. It was all completely His. And He not only provided the gift for us after Adam messed up in the garden, He provided this gift for us before creation began. The lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, Revelation 13, verse 8. Can you imagine, you know, when a parent provides for a child and it's like, oh my, I don't know what I'm going to do. It's time to go to college and I don't have any money saved up. And a kid goes, here's your account. We've been sticking money in this all along. And for any of you parents that haven't done that, I'm sorry. I just embarrassed you. But the idea is, isn't that a nice thing that they accounted for it ahead of time? God accounted for our lack of righteousness. God accounted for our inability of attaining righteousness. And he planned it, and he made it ahead of time. He made it so that we could, and it's a gift, and that's what makes it a gift that he planned for us before creation began. And that makes it a very incredible gift. You know, we have been delivered from a helpless situation unto an unbelievable hope. Man chooses to ignore God and make his own way to God. That's why there's so many man-made religions. But God has always been clear. All fall short. Way, way short. But God does not leave it there with the bad news. Freely, in grace, he has offered his righteousness to all who will receive it. Have you received his gift? Father, we thank you that after struggling for weeks through driving home the point, sin separates us from you, and there's no way we can get to you. You had to come to us. You weren't obligated, but in your purpose and in your will, you'd made provision for it before any of the physical creation began. Lord, you're an amazing God, and we worship you because of that. I trust that each one here today has reached out in faith and belief in Jesus Christ to receive your gift. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. I hope this morning you're thrilled with the good news. We've gotten through the point. Man has thumbed his nose up at God. And God has made a way. And he's offering a tremendous gift. Within that giftedness is his love and his grace. It should be the single most significant thing in our life. And if it is the single most significant thing in our life, aren't we going to want to share it with those who may not know? This is a tremendous gift. Let us stand. Father, we certainly humbly come before you, realizing that in our own strength, we all fall short. We aren't even close. But in your grace, by what you have provided for us, we can receive your righteousness, which is the exact same righteousness you've talked about to man since the beginning of time. It is therein that we are merely the products of your grace and love. May your salvation have the effect in us you have designed. So that by your presence and power in our lives, we will impact others. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.